Hello, this is Angus Young of AC/DC. This is your happy Halloween.
Gather round, creeps. Gather round, fools. Gather round, spirits, and gather round, ghouls. Listen to me, for I have a story of blackening fright and all things gory, of grinning pumpkins and demon cats, of wicked witches and scurrying rats. They've all come together to celebrate and feast. Larry the Wolf and Igor the Beast. For this is the night when little babies cry and orange mist pours from their eyes. Monster girls and monster men patiently wait for the fun to begin. What do they know that you've never seen? Well, I'll tell you, my friend, a glorious hootenanny called Halloween.
Believe in the boogeyman. Rumor Radio. the world's original all horror broadcast.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits?
The only.
This week on our very special Halloween broadcast.
Halloween.
I am the director. I've been directing 10-cent movies for 30 years, and I think I know a little bit about what I'm doing. It's a horrible world. There's starvation, dismemberment, torture, rape, cornholing. It's horrible out there.
The undisputed king of independent cinema. Nicest guys you will ever meet. The great Lloyd Kaufman's here to tell us about his new film, Poltergeist.
There hasn't been such a lethal combination of chicken and Indians since tandoori was introduced to the American people.
Jessica, the caustic critic. For all the love this week, let's scare Jessica to death.
This is an unnerving, nightmarish film to watch, like, after midnight by yourself.
This is an absolute must-see film.
Terror tunes en route from Lou Reed. Most straitjackets. John Carpenter, Calamari Safari. I love saying that. Rob Zombie and the Ghastly Ones, Zach Early. A new stuff right here from the Dead Vampires. Halloween Town. On Tune for Reward Radio. Tune in, give me a candy or else. Let's go.
Well, I miss home. I miss the place I'm from. Where the leaves are always brown, the kids are never down. Jacqueline is loud, every porch in town. There's an army of rebel devils run right through the streets. All the girls have bangs and Betty Page bangs and ghouls and wolves are staring through. Well, I miss you. So alone, we terrorize all the kids in town. Make out in the back of a funeral home. The smell of burning lids and chocolate in the air. Let's rev up the hearse, provoke a new curse, and give those kids a real good scare. Halloween Town, it's Halloween Town. We don't need love. Christmas always sucks. This day lasts.
Halloween Town. We don't need luck. the ghastly ones.
Tiny little bumps all over my chicken.
Those are our new flavor pods.
Ooh, flavor pods.
The secret zest sauce.
Every leg, every thigh is fresh, tasty, and oh my God, my ass!
They are very slowly approaching the entrance.
They'll break through faster than the 5 minutes it took me to turn Wendy into a full-blown lesbian.
Damn it.
All right. Just stop the f***ing spitting.
Right, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan? I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Those damn handicapped people.
What's with the name?
What does horror mean to you?
All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is feedback.
Good morning, Trollmobile!
And this week I'm on location, Les Messman style, at the Toronto After Dark Film Festival, where I just caught up with the legendary High Priest of Tromaville himself, Sir Lloyd Kaufman. He's here in town conducting his world-famous Make Your Own Damn Movie Masterclass Workshop. I grill Lloyd about his latest film, Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, which is currently in post-production and scheduled for a February 2007 release. This is Troma's first major in-studio production since the 2004 disaster piece, Tales from the Crapper. It's shot on 35mm and it's been personally financed by Lloyd and his wife, and if it fails to generate sufficient revenue, may very well be Mr. Kaufman's swan song. Either way, I have a funny feeling that this is the one they're gonna remember him for. And before we get going, I just want to thank Dan Tapia, Tim Breen, and Agostino Giacomini for all their help in recording the interview.
Okay, so the first thing I want to ask you about is Poltergeist, because we've been hearing about this movie now for eons.
Well, Poltergeist is a, this is an age of remakes, and Poltergeist is a shot-by-shot, exact replica, an exact remaking of the great Steven Spielberg black men in a boat epic, Amistad, except that instead of the black men, we have inserted chicken Indian zombies, and instead of the boat, we have a fast food restaurant, and instead of Anthony Hopkins, who was in Amistad, we have substituted the amazing Shakespearean actor Ron Jeremy.
Fool! This restaurant is built on ancient Tomahawk tribe sacred Indian burial ground. Get out while you still can! Get out! Save yourselves!
What inspired these various changes?
Well, Poltergeist grew out of the fact that McDonald's moved next door to the Troma building, and we instantly, aside from the fact that the people at McDonald's and the management behaved very poorly as neighbors,
we produced only high-quality chicken-flavored foodstuffs.
The basement of the Troma building, which contains all our history, became infested with giant kielbasa-sized rats, and nobody would go down to the basement of the Troma building to even rat busters, the professional services refused to go down there. So I had to go down to the basement of the Troma building and fight these giant raccoon-sized rats and clean up the rat duty, and it was a horrible, horrible thing. So that got me sort of interested in fast food in a negative sort of a way. And then I read Fast Food Nation, which really exposes the evils of the fast food industry, and I decided that I would, since most Troma movies have one foot in political situations, Toxic Avenger grew out of the fact that I was getting newsletters talking about toxic waste dumps ticking away like time bombs all over the world, and Class of Nukem High grew out of the fact that a nuclear power plant was being built right next door to New York City and was being built with crappy materials and drunken labor and stuff like that. And Poltergeist is basically a hate letter to the fast food industry. And also it has some singing and dancing in it, because I've always been interested in musical comedy.
You hop in your car and head straight to get drive-through.
In fact, my second book, Make Your Own Damn Movie, my second book opens with me in the basement of the Troma building fighting these rats and cleaning up the rat crap and feces and disgusting stuff there, because nobody else would. And if you're going to make your own damn movies and be an independent filmmaker, that is a very good metaphor. You will have to do a lot of things yourself that you don't want to do.
While simultaneously slaughtering countless innocent chickens.
You're now vegetarian. And you don't even use hamburger meat and stuffed into the cantaloupe to simulate the head-crushing scenes.
Yes.
Was it because of reading that book? Is that what inspired that decision?
I eat fish and I eat butter and whatever dairy stuff, cheese. And I'm not vegan. But I had seen, actually, it was a film that convinced me. My daughter Charlotte, who is a star of Terra Firma, the young mute child in Terra Firma, she has been vegetarian pretty much all her life, so I was a little bit in that direction. But this is a movie made by PETA about the pigs, and when I say pigs, I don't mean the United States Congress. I am talking about the animal. And when you see that film, you see how they suffer. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was channel surfing, and I came upon a public access station that was playing PETA's pig movie, and that was the thing that pushed me to stop eating meat or chicken.
All right, so Troma's been around for 35 years. As you said, you have the unblemished record of never having a hit movie. So could you explain to us what the guiding principles are of the Troma philosophy?
Well, I think the spiritual side of Troma is to thine own self be true, which, as you know, is a phrase coined by William Shakespeare, that successful best-selling author who wrote 101 money-making screenplay titles, and otherwise known as Hamlet. And I think that should be the guiding force, at least for me. On the business side, we have three rules of production at Troma. Safety to humans, safety to people's property, and then in much smaller print, make a good movie. And we put these posters up. We try to brainwash our crews and our actors because it's only a movie, and it's not worth hurting somebody. Safety to humans, safety to people's property, and make a good movie. And that's basically the trauma philosophy.
The chicken has declared jihad on us all.
Calamari Safari.
You're sitting at home and your stomach is bubbling.
No food in the fridge and your hunger is growing.
You hop in your car and head straight to get drive-through.
Murder with fries is described as fast food.
To be baked and broiled,
thrown in a pan to be fried in some oil.
Trick or treat for Halloween. Better give a treat that's good to eat
if you want to keep life serene.
Trick or treat,
trick or treat,
trick or treat,
trick or treat,
trick or treat. The whole night through, little scalawags with fiendish gags can make it tough on you. So when ghosts and goblins by the score ring the bell on your front door, better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true.
Hi, this is Bill Murray, and I hope you have a very scary Halloween.
I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For those of you who are looking for new lovers, make sure that you have a safe set of sex.
She took the devil for a lover, and he possessed her body and soul.
Happy Halloween.
This is Marco Picota, namely the controller here at Rumor. Happy Halloween.
Hi there, this is Clive Barker of the Hellraiser Movies. Pinhead and I would like to wish you a Hellraising Halloween.
Hi, this is Penn of Penn & Teller. Happy Halloween.
From Kiss, wishing everybody a happy Halloween. Take off your masks. Much better without it.
Magazine, and I'd like to wish everyone listening a happy and haunting Halloween.
Hi, this is Janet from Concrete Blonde. I bet you didn't recognize me. Happy Halloween.
Creator of May.
Happy Halloween.
Hey, this is Lita Ford. Happy Halloween. Yee-hee-hee! I'll get you, my pretty. And your little dog, too.
Celebrate 9 years of fear at the Rue Morgue 9th Anniversary Halloween Party. Chinese Torture Theater.
Featuring fetish freaks from the Far East, Rue Morgue Go-Go Ghouls, Return of the Flesh Hook Funhouse, Live Snakes, Dancing Dragons, and the spectral sounds of DJ Shannon and Doom Dragomir. Plus mystery magic murder movies, midnight costume contest, gruesome giveaways, and new rooms to tempt your terror.
Come in for me.
Chinese Torture Theater, Saturday, October 28th. The Church at Berkeley, 315 Queen Street East, Toronto. Tickets $25 in advance. Doors open at 8.
Don't come alone.
Jessica, I'm here.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal, it's nasty.
Sensational.
This guy is willing to go 5 rounds with his naysayers, for crying out loud.
Balding, balding, balding.
They're real.
Holy fuck.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critics.
They're here.
All right, this is Feedback.
And this is Chris Alexander, and this week we're going to take a look at a film that scared the hell out of me when I was a kid, and what a joy it is to watch it again now and rediscover that it still has that power to terrify. That film is Let's Scare Jessica to Death, a 1971 shocker put out by Paramount Pictures that has kind of been sort of a hidden cult film for years. A lot of people in the know have always sworn by its powers to chill, and there's no doubt about it that it does have that power, and it's only rated PG, which is testament to the film's ability to make you uncomfortable and to make you uneasy and almost nauseous with its bizarre combination of music, offbeat performances, bizarre cinematography, and really staggeringly odd tone where you're never quite sure what's real and what's not, and yet not be explicit or in your face. This is a very, very dark film, but again, one that gets away with a PG rating because nothing is very obvious in the film, including the gore.
No, it's very clever, the film. It uses a lot of strange juxtapositions between this sweet, melancholic score.
Amazing score, actually.
With this disturbing sound design, and that's a constant combination that undercuts the whole film. And it's full of these weird little stylistic innovations like that. The performances are very naturalistic. And there's that use of the voiceover.
I sit here and I can't believe that it happened.
It's very intimate and it draws you fully into the character's world.
And yet I have to believe it.
And it doesn't hit you over the head with all sorts of
dreams or nightmares.
Narrative explanations. But speaking of narrative explanations, what the hell is this film even about?
Madness or sanity?
That's a good one. You know what? And if you read any synopsis in any movie book or anything online or even the back of the goddamn DVD, you will not get any clear picture as to what this thing is about. However, ostensibly it is about a girl named Jessica, who with her, along with her husband and her a good close friend, I guess, they buy a farmhouse out in the New England countryside. And they go there. Presumably Jessica's had some sort of massive nervous breakdown. She's toying with insanity. And this kind of move to buy this house is to sort of kind of bring her back to reality and nurse her wounds. They get to the farmhouse. They discover a very strange girl and a kind of a weird dynamic develops between the four friends, and then slowly and surely, pretty much right off the top, sort of like Jack Torrance in the Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, she starts to go insane.
You want to die, Courtney. You want to die, Mike. You want to die, Courtney. You want to die.
However, you're never
recovering schizophrenic anyway.
Well, there you go.
So the assumption here is that she's having some sort of a relapse.
Right.
But as an audience member, we really don't know if that's the case or if she is really being haunted by these visions.
But the visions, now what visions they are, I mean, they're very, very, again, there's no real special effects in this movie. It's all just simple use, a girl floating underwater with the red hair flowing. Kind of reminds me of Night of the Hunter with Shelley Winters and her hair underwater. And then again, the use of voiceover. Jessica. Whispers. Her own whispers in her head. External whispers combining with that weird acoustic guitar score and those very intrusive electronic Moog things like that. This is an unnerving, nightmarish film to watch after midnight by yourself.
For anyone with a real appreciation for uniquely, finely crafted genre films, this is an absolute must-see film. Unfortunately, it's available on DVD by Paramount on a DVD that absolutely features no special features.
Fuck all, man. Chapter stops. That's it. That's all we're treated to on this. I mean, Paramount does that all the time, though. They tried out these great genre classics. Now, give us beautiful widescreen presentations, so that's fine. They're very affordable discs, but they don't
give
a shit.
This is a film we really want to see more about. We want to see some commentaries or behind-the-scenes interviews.
Maybe not, man, and I'll tell you why, because watching this movie again, and the way it does fuck you up and the way that no questions are answered, would a commentary, would directors' quotes, would interviews with actors, screenwriters, a fleshing out of this nightmarish world it creates,
yeah, but
would
like
that
I
help
said before,
us or hinder
no,
the film?
Like I said before, it's such a finely crafted film, it would be nice to learn more about the process of how they made this movie.
Well, the fact that we don't know that and the fact that many of the actors, although they have worked throughout the 1970s and 80s, you haven't really seen much of them. And the fact the director or the guy did the score, they haven't worked a lot either. It creates a fascinating otherworldly film that's completely 110% unique to itself.
Or in other words, ignorance is bliss? Is that what you're trying to say?
In the case of Let's Scare Jessica to Death, that's exactly what I'm motherfucking trying to say.
All right, well, until next week, this is Feedback.
And this is Chris Alexander signing off without a gag. If you're a very serious fan of the horror genre, and you can appreciate slow-burning, quietly devastating horror filmmaking that gets under your skin, Let's Scare Jessica to Death. Hands down, one of the creepiest genre pictures ever made.
Hi, this is Lou Reed, and if you're tricking or treating, happy Halloween and don't catch anything.
During the afternoon, someone looked out the window and noticed that Slowpoke looked very sad. Poor old Slowpoke. He wants to come to the party, but he can't because his feet are stuck in the ground. What could they do to make Slowpoke happy? Let's have a parade and show him our costumes.
There's a downtown fair singing out Proud Mary as she cruises Christopher Street. And some southern queen is acting loud and mean where the docks and the badlands meet. This Halloween is something to be sure of. Especially to be here without you. There's a Greta Garbo and an Alfred Hitchcock and some black Jamaican stud. There's five Cinderellas and some leather drags. I almost fell into my mug. There's a Crawford Davis and a tacky Cary Grant. And some homeboys looking for trouble down here from the Bronx. But there ain't no Harry and no Virgin Mary. You won't hear those voices again. And Johnny Rio and Rotten Rita, you never see those faces again. This Halloween is something to be sure. Especially to be here without you. There's the Born Again Losers and the Lavender Boozers and some crack team from Washington Heights. The boys from Avenue B, the girls from Avenue D are Tinkerbell and tights. This celebration somehow gets me down. Especially when I see you're not around. There's no Peter Pedantic saying things romantic in Latin, Greek, or Spic. There's no Three Bananas or Brandon Alexander dishing all their tricks. It's a different feeling that I have today. Especially when I know you've gone away. There's a girl from Soho with a t-shirt saying I blow. She's with the Jive 5, 2 plus 3. And the girl for pay dates are giving cut rates or else doing it for free. The past keeps knock, knock, knocking on my door. And I don't want to hear it anymore. No consolations, please, for feeling funky. I gotta get my head above my knees. But it makes me mad and that makes me sad. And then I start to freeze. In the back of my mind, I was afraid it might be true. In the back of my mind, I was afraid that they meant you. The Halloween.
Another Halloween has come and gone.
Yes, Charlie Brown. At
the I don't understand it. I went trick-or-treating and all I got was a bag full of rocks. At the Halloween. I suppose you spend all night in the pumpkin patch.
See you next year.
And the great pumpkin never showed up?
Nope.
Well, don't take it too hard, Linus. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, too.
Stupid? What do you mean, stupid? Just wait till next year, Charlie Brown. You'll see. Next year at this same time, I'll find a pumpkin patch that is real sincere. And I'll sit in that pumpkin patch until the great pumpkin appears. He'll rise out of that pumpkin patch and he'll fly through the air with his bag of toys. The great pumpkin will appear, and I'll be waiting for him. I'll be there. I'll be sitting there.
Charlie Brown.
while you still can. Get out! Save yourselves! Save yourselves!
Damn right.